One of the biggest things I see, most women are not getting enough fiber, especially the right kinds of fiber, and they don't even realize it. That's why I like using Chronometer. It makes it incredibly easy to actually see what you're eating and understand your nutrition on a deeper level. I especially appreciate that it tracks both soluble and insoluble fiber because they each play different roles in overall wellness, digestion, and metabolic health. What sets Chronometer apart for me is the accuracy and detail. A lot of tracking apps only focus on calories, but Chronometer gives you meaningful micronutrient data I can actually use. The platform is easy to use, reliable, and helps you make more informed nutrition choices without guesswork. If you want better insight into your nutrition during midlife and beyond, download Chronometer for free today at chronometer.com and start learning what your body may really need.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Own the road with Kelly and Bob, the USA 250 Tour, celebrating America.
We, the people of the United States of America,
and thanks for joining us for this episode of On the Road with Kelly and Bob, the USA 250 Tour. I'm Kelly Phillips.
And I'm Bob Phillips. From totem pole carvers in Alaska to a tropical paradise in Florida, and from people building giant ships in Maine to the city of cemeteries in California, our tour of all 50 states this year has taken us to some incredible places where we have met some wonderful people.
Yeah, and this week we'll travel to a place in the southwestern part of our country where we find some incredible examples of art, culture, and engineering that will blow your mind.
And a longtime journalist who has made it her life's work to tell those people's story. Next stop, Santa Fe, New Mexico.
I am a homegrown Santa Fe girl. I'm a multi-generational New Mexican. After high school, I went to school at the University of New Mexico, earned a journalism degree.
Her name is Carmela Padilla, and she spent most of her life learning about and telling the stories of other people's lives, documenting things like their art, history, and culture in a beautiful way. She started out here in New Mexico, but...
And then went to D.C. for a while, and then went to Dallas for a while to begin newspapering. Decided to come back to New Mexico to work on a higher level degree, which I never completed because I ended up getting a call asking me to come and work at a weekly newspaper here that called the Santa Fe Reporter. And I really did kind of resist because I thought, I don't know that I want to go back to Santa Fe. I mean, I appreciated my family. I appreciated what I grew up with, but it wasn't going to be my big city journalism career. I got back here and I thought, okay, well, what the heck? I'll take that job. And I said to her, I'll take that job if you let me do what I want. I wanted to cover northern New Mexico, just dig into parts of northern New Mexico that I thought where I could find some really great stories. So I started just exploring and realizing that everything here culturally, and artistically, you know, was so rich, and there was so much I didn't know, and I started sort of learning my own history through my work. I started becoming more aware of some of the cultural contradictions about the place I was raised in, some of the mythologies, some of the real aspects of where I lived made it more complex and layered and interesting. And all of a sudden, it was like, oh my gosh, wow.
Why did I ever want to leave?
It's such a great place. Everybody wants to come here and everybody wants to, you know, dive into these topics.
Carmela Padilla grew up in Santa Fe, New Mexico, but it took leaving here to make her appreciate her roots. And when she sunk her journalistic teeth into this place, well, she found a treasure trove of stories so rich and full of wonder that she didn't think she would ever run out of subjects for her newspaper and magazine articles.
Then this curious New Mexico writer ran into an equally curious New Mexico photographer. That resulted in a partnership on a story Carmela never saw herself telling.
I owe that to a collaboration with Jack Parsons. So we did our first book, The Chili Chronicles, Chili's Tales of a New Mexico Harvest, that came out in 1996. And in the midst of that, he had been going to some car shows around the state and shooting lowriders. He said, hey, you know, why don't you come with me to some of these shows and let's talk to these people that are doing these cars and let's pitch a magazine article. So that was our original idea. And I think we did publish something in the magazine, but it very quickly and enthusiastically turned into a much deeper project. The hook there for me culturally involved art. The cars that we were looking at and the tradition that we were looking at, it had to do with its intersection with religious art, ideas of Spanish colonial art and murals, because many of these cars had imagery that came out of the church or that were more sort of contemporary interpretations of church figures. And so that to me was a very interesting intersection between this deep tradition of devotional art in New Mexico that was mostly painted wood, mm-hmm. You know, sculptures and paintings that were made for churches or personal home altars, and then suddenly evolving into this imagery on the side of a modern canvas, if you will, and a mobile canvas, which is the lowrider. Lowrider traditions in different areas emphasize different things. That was what really caught our eye and what we sort of really focused on for this project.
The story of lowriders in New Mexico. Was it art? Was it culture? Or was it about deeply religious people living somewhat different lives from what might be considered the norm?
The answer, Carmela discovered, was yes, all of that and so much more. But first, for the uninitiated, just what is a lowrider?
A lowrider can be an individual, and a lowrider can be a car itself. And in the case of the automobile, it has been engineered, re-engineered in a way to lower the suspension so that it is not very high from the ground. If you have a true lowrider, things began to evolve. Statements started being made, and the lowrider was really a real statement of engineering, in our case in northern New Mexico, of Latino culture and the values and the things that were important to these in this culture. One of which is family, collaboration. You know, a lot of mm-hmm. these cars, mm-hmm. multi-generational, father to son to daughter. Or they become a family project. So they're a reflection of the place that we live. And when we did this project in particular, if you look at the photographs, which are just stunning, Jack's approach to that was to create little environmental portraits. So you sort of, wherever these cars are, you can kind of identify them with the landscape. And the landscapes are different, right? And throughout Santa Fe or throughout northern New Mexico.
Well, if you've never seen a lowrider, it's something that's, well, difficult to explain. Not what they look like, but the reason behind them. And truth be told, if you don't know anything about the culture that created this movement, you might even fear them because they are so different from typical American ideals.
And that's the idea. Yes, lowriders are about art. They are about culture and history. They are about families and religion.
But for journalist Carmela Padilla, these marvels of re-engineered symbols are about a people she knows and loves, a people that just want to be seen and heard.
I'm Hispana. I am native New Mexican. It was not a stretch for me to go into those communities, but I also didn't know the car culture, and so there was a generosity of spirit in welcoming me into those communities to ask them questions and to teach me about it and to take it seriously. And so there's that generosity of spirit, that hospitality that New Mexico is known for, and that was really much on display in every way. But also just, I think it's true of everybody, whether it's that culture or whatever, if you have an opportunity to express who you are and let the world see you, whether it be through your car, through your writing, through your podcast, it's a really important thing. And that's a point of connection that we can all really participate in and embrace, I think. If we sit down and have a conversation and ask questions and are respectful, it makes for a good relationship.
Now, we did the interview with Carmela in Santa Fe at a wonderful bookstore, but our travels on this story took us all over northern New Mexico, especially to a place called Espanola that lays claim to the title Lowrider Capital of the World.
Yeah, and I remember when Espanola was a somewhat sleepy little village where we used to stop for a bowl of green chili when we were on our way up to Taos and Red River. No more. Like everything else these days, this place has grown up and become an important part of this part of the world, and much more than a suburb of Santa Fe.
Let's continue our conversation with Carmela.
And it's so great that you're here, because this is like very important bookstore. It's the oldest independent bookstore in Santa Fe.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really at the heart of our literary community here.
At what point did you stop writing just long format and go to
books?
Books.
Oh God, I was so naive. I was working for The Reporter for about 3 years, and then honestly, I kind of after doing daily journalism and even weekly journalism and some magazine work, it started to feel like it was getting formulaic for me, especially if you're doing deadline journalism, and
right.
Sometimes it is just like you're on deadline, you got to get the piece out. As an editor of mine used to say, you got to cut the cord. I was getting already tired as a banging out multiple stories a day, a week or whatever, and I wanted a little bit of more space, I guess, to imagine. And so I just thought, well, I'll quit my job and write a book.
Always a good idea. Yeah.
It was the early 90s, and I met a photographer, Jack Parsons. I said, I'd really like to do some kind of a photo book, photo narrative book, historical culture of New Mexico. And literally, we were on the road like 3 weeks later, traveling to the southern part of the state, which was an area that I was not really very familiar with. I grew up here, and so most of my New Mexico universe was Santa Fe North.
Right.
Southern New Mexico is a whole different world in many ways. So we started traveling down there, and so we looked at the history of the chili industry from north to south. And in the south, you have large agribusiness, large multi-generational farms, big operations. Here you had a shorter growing season, mostly small farmers, but also growing types and cultivars of chili that had been here since the Spanish conquest. And so we produced a book called The Chili Chronicles. That was the first book that we did together. Of course, you know, it was not paying my bills. Books never pay your bills, unfortunately. So I just sort of started complementing that with other work in communications. Again, in the arts and museum world in Santa Fe, and we have so much of that, I was able to sort of move in and out of that. But I've worked independently since 1993.
But you did get the bug to write books.
Yeah.
That gets you and you.
Yeah, and I've always continued to do journalism here and there, but book work is my more in-depth, long-term.
You can really dive deep into
yes.
it.
I didn't know anything about the mechanics of automobiles, and certainly there's a whole mechanical aspect to lowriders in terms of the suspension systems and their motorization, if you will.
The way they're put together,
I just started spending a lot of time on Sunday afternoons in people's garages in northern New Mexico, and going and just listening and watching and asking a lot of really dumb questions, but people were bared with it and taught me a lot. It was just a really incredible experience, but it was very grounded in the culture of northern New Mexico. And so there's a whole system of suspension engineering that goes into making the car as low as you can make it without scraping the pavement.
Mm-hmm.
And also in some cases having it do these sort of acrobatic tricks.
Jump up and down.
Jump up and down.
The right end goes up and the left end goes, all of that.
Yeah, really, really amazing. But the real sort of peacock aspect of these cars is that the drivers, the low riders, drive their low riders very slowly. So thus you get the phrase low and slow. And the idea of driving your car very slowly and lowering it to the ground was thought to be a reaction or sort of a rebellion against more modern American auto traditions at the time.
One of the biggest things I see, most women are not getting enough fiber, especially the right kinds of fiber, and they don't even realize it. That's why I like using Chronometer. It makes it incredibly easy to actually see what you're eating and understand your nutrition on a deeper level. I especially appreciate that it tracks both soluble and insoluble fiber because they each play different roles in overall wellness, digestion, and metabolic health. What sets Chronometer apart for me is the accuracy and detail. A lot of tracking apps only focus on calories, but Chronometer gives you meaningful micronutrient data I can actually use. The platform is easy to use, reliable, and helps you make more informed nutrition choices without guesswork. If you want better insight into your nutrition during midlife and beyond, download Chronometer for free today at chronometer.com and start learning what your body may really need.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is in the 50s when everybody was doing hot rods. So they were raising their cars and they were speeding through the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you know, a particular sign of success, wealth, whatever, and identity. And these cars were created as another sort of hallmark of the identity of the people that were driving them.
Oh my gosh, you're telling us that not only do people go to all this trouble to create these incredible vehicles, there's a reason behind it.
There's a purpose.
There's a purpose.
That's a philosophical purpose.
I think that there's a philosophical purpose. Cars also symbolically, at least earlier in time, in the earlier 20th century, symbolized success mm-hmm. and independence. And it didn't only happen here. I mean, it was, and there's great debates, you know, what is the lowrider capital of the world? Española will say they're the lowrider capital of the world. Los Angeles will say they're the lowrider capital of the world. San Antonio will say the same thing. And, you know, there's debates about who did it first, right? I think it was probably a simultaneous thing.
Yeah.
So, tell us about some of the art
Yeah, because the art, oh my, we can't get over it. Let's just put, I mean, yeah. it's incredible, isn't
well,
it?
Well, just, I mean, the color combinations alone yeah. yes. are striking, and just the way that these cars are painted, they're beautiful. So if you think on the exterior aspects of them, you know, just the paint combinations and the way that everything is so meticulous, whether it's a pinstripe or a painting that's on the hood or whatever, you know, sometimes it's really highly Catholic imagery, very devotional. You might have an image of Christ on the hood of the car, or of the Virgin Mary or Lady of Guadalupe, which is a very important symbol here as the patroness of the Americas. You might have family portraits. You might have memorial portraits of people who have passed away. You know, you might have a dog, your photo, you know, portrait of your dog. If you are taking your car to that level of having it be a canvas for some kind of a portrait. Otherwise, it might just be, you know, beautiful geometric design or pinstriping.
But some of it's got deeply personal
yes.
statements.
Yes.
I notice even a lot of Day of the Dead
yes.
Imagery.
Yes.
That works in there.
Right, right. And, you know, it's getting even more so. It's getting more evolved, if you will, and just more, even more meticulous and more imaginative as time goes on. You know, when we did this book, it was, you know, when we started reporting it, it was the early to mid-90s. And then the book came out, I think, in 98. I mean, this book is almost 30 years old.
Yeah.
And it's become kind of a classic, I'm proud to say. Like the cars, because the cars that we were photographing and the people that we were working with then were classics. Some of the people are still involved in the community, I'm sure. Some are no longer with us. You know, another art form has to do with the interior of the interiors of the cars. Tucked upholstery,
yeah.
tucked leather upholstery, mm-hmm. and or velvet. I mean, all of these amazing over-the-top interiors. But, you know, some of these cars are, you know, huge investments of
oh,
money
yeah.
and time, certainly, and imagination. Sometimes they'll only take them out for a cruise on a Sunday afternoon. Others will show at car shows, and others use their cars day-to-day as part of their day-to-day activity. So I think it's different depending on who's doing it.
One of the things that you mentioned is that men are involved, but there are also women involved in the lowrider culture.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Yes. There, you know, I will say that when we were doing this project, it was hard, it was more difficult to find women lowriders. We have a couple of women in the cars, in the book, who had their own cars, but it was not... it was not as common as it is now. I
think. It was a guy thing in the beginning.
Yeah, I think so.
You know,
or it was a,
if like
it was a family
were.
Thing, but the women were in the background. Or the women were,
yeah.
you know, there was a whole tradition of posing in front of the cars, you know, that the women participated in that aspect of
yeah.
it, which is great. More so now, women are involved in the actual mechanics of it and really... standing out themselves as serious engineers. So it's definitely an integrated community and much more multi-generational.
In doing your research for this book and spending time with the people in this culture, what did you learn about them?
Just really wonderful salt-of-the-earth people who really wanted to express themselves and found a point of cultural and community pride. You could not take a broad brush
exactly.
and just paint everybody that way. And so we really were saying, you know, teach us what you know, and we want to elevate this in the best way possible. We had a governor at the time. He was a famous runner. He used to run
yeah.
around the city. And he was running one day, and some guys in a lowrider passed by him or something, and he made a statement in the newspaper about running in the neighborhood and seeing the slow riders with dark tinted windows and fearing for his life because he couldn't see the people in the window and it was a low, slow car. And so actually when this book came out, he really kind of ate crow and did two things. The day that this book was released, he did a proclamation declaring it low and slow day or low rider day in New Mexico. And then we actually had a book launch in the state capitol outside of his office on the fourth floor. There's a gallery out there called the Governor's Gallery. And we launched the book in the Governor's Gallery. And the entire lowrider community came. They parked their cars on the walkways up to the, you know, going into the Capitol. If you've been to the Capitol, there's those long walkways. They parked cars. They did a car show. They came up to the Governor's Gallery. We signed books, took pictures. And the Governor came, and he took pictures with all of us, and he issued an apology. So it was a big turnaround.
Is there something about this culture and the fact how it came to be and the fact that it lasted so long and it's still going today and the pride and
it seems to be stronger today.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Is there something that it says that's kind of a takeaway for us just as Americans?
Well, I do think that there is little known history of New Mexico. In terms of, we take pride in saying this community was established well before Plymouth Rock as a state capital or a capital of a province.
So yeah.
There's a deep history in New Mexico that most Americans aren't even aware of, and it precedes all of the markers that we consider sort of founding markers of America. So I think that's one thing, learn your history, know your history. There are aspects of history that every place has that we probably don't, we think we know, but we don't really understand. And also every place, just like New Mexico, has something special to contribute to the greater tapestry, if you will, of this country. And we are a tapestry, and we should be, continue to be that way. We all... Every place in this country is unique, and everybody who lives there is unique, and we all have something to contribute that adds to the beauty of the whole, in my opinion. And so this is, New Mexico has a particular place in that tapestry in terms of how we express ourselves as New Mexicans artistically and culturally and historically.
All those threads that make up all that fabric that makes up this country called the United States of America.
Yes, yes.
And lowriders remind us that culture isn't just something you find in a textbook. It's something you build, it's something you maintain, and something that you drive into the future. We want to say a huge thank you to our gracious host at Collected Works Bookstore right there in Santa Fe. I mean, sitting down surrounded by shelves of history and stories, it was the absolute perfect backdrop for a conversation about a culture that holds so much history of its own. If you're ever in Santa Fe, you really need to stop by Collected Works Bookstore. Grab a coffee, pick up a book, and support an independent gem that supports the community. So for now, keep it low, keep it slow. Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of On the Road with Kelly and Bob, the USA 250 Tour. Our journey continues next week with yet another state, so don't miss a mile. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and be sure and check out those videos on our YouTube page. You can listen to On the Road with Kelly and Bob wherever you get your podcast, or download that free Odyssey app. Listen anytime, anywhere.
One of the biggest things I see, most women are not getting enough fiber, especially the right kinds of fiber, and they don't even realize it. That's why I like using Chronometer. It makes it incredibly easy to actually see what you're eating and understand your nutrition on a deeper level. I especially appreciate that it tracks both soluble and insoluble fiber because they each play different roles in overall wellness, digestion, and metabolic health. What sets Chronometer apart for me is the accuracy and detail. A lot of tracking apps only focus on calories, but Chronometer gives you meaningful micronutrient data I can actually use. The platform is easy to use, reliable, and helps you make more informed nutrition choices without guesswork. If you want better insight into your nutrition during midlife and beyond, download Chronometer for free today at chronometer.com and start learning what your body may really need.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Gear from MLBShop.com helps you show everyone what team you're with before you even say a word. So people start asking you things locals and fans know, like,
you with the crew?
You from the D?
Where'd you go to high school?
Your dad put you in brown and gold?
You see skins, girl?
You get your Dodger dog?
Siempre 305?
You see Big Dumper 60?
Do you see him put Vladdy in the jacket?
How about 47?
You see Judges 62?
Shohei's 50-50?
The gear says it all.
Cut from the city. Go to MLBShop.com.
MLB trademarks used with permission.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.